Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening over other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this blessed Sabbath, September 24, 2022. This is our part two review of our chapter 75 entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas part two. Of our lesson 365, I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. Our opening Tiny Thought song is entitled Jesus Loves Me, and our dear brother will be able to share it with us. Your mic is closed, dear brother. Brother Dick? Your mic is closed.
I do it every time. Probably I should get a habit of not shutting it off when I get through singing so that it'll be there for me. But anyway. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. On the cross you died for me, I will love and live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all of their precious family that are just coming in. If any one of the little tiny thoughts, by the help of their parents or elder siblings, would like to open their section of review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sad blessings, everyone. Filling in for little Emma, but she's not feeling well, so she's resting. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. Thank you for bringing us safety through the week. May you bless the words that we're about to learn. May you bless us this Sabbath day, bless each and every one of us that are here, and keep us and guide us, open up our hearts, our ears, and our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear Savior, we pray that you may be able to put your healing hands upon all the little ones that are under the weather, and also may you comfort and bring healing to our dear sister Emma. By God's grace. Amen. Amen. This is the section that we love to hear all the little blessings that the little ones were in their home for mommies and daddies or aunties or family. If you would like to share your testimony, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Yes, mommies and daddies, what a blessing. I want to go ahead and highlight Emma. So Emma has started school on pre-K and has made little friends. And as we're doing our morning and nightly prayers, Emma has incorporated her friends and teachers in her prayers. And that's such a blessing to see. And we hope that she'll continue to do so as she continues on this journey.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else that would like to share? Otherwise, we are going to continue. Have a blessing to all the precious family that are just joining in. This is the section that we are going to hand in to our dear Brother Gray. He's going to review our story time section. The book is The Story of Jesus. Chapter 9 is Early Ministry Part 2.
The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 36, and chapter 2, verse 8, in the King James Version. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist said. And he said unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Don't get the connection, but John 1, 40 to 44. One of the two which heard Jesus speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone or a small stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Next slide, please. But the messengers from Jerusalem were not drawn to the Savior. Well, John had not said that which they desired to hear. They expected the Messiah to come as a great conqueror. They saw that this was not the mission of Jesus, and in disappointment, they turned from him. The next day, John again saw Jesus, and again he cried, Behold, the Lamb of God, John 1:36. Two of John's disciples were standing near, and they followed Jesus. They listened to his teaching and became his disciples. One of the two was Andrew, the other John. Andrew soon brought to Jesus his own brother, Simon, whom Christ called Peter. The next day, on the way to Galilee, Christ called another disciple, Philip. As soon as Philip found the Savior, he brought his friend Nathanael. In this way, Christ's great work on earth was begun. One by one, he called his disciples, and one brought his brother, and another his friend. This is what every follower of Christ is to do. As soon as he himself knows Jesus, he is to tell others what a precious friend he has found. This is a work that all can do, whether they are young or old. Story of Jesus, page 1551. Paul continuing. At Cana in Galilee, Christ with his disciples attended a marriage feast. For the happiness of this household gathering, His wonderful power was put forth. It was the custom in that country to use wine or pure grape juice on such occasions. Nowadays, they use alcohol in their wine, which is bad. Before the feast was ended, the supply of grape juice failed. The lack of grape juice at a feast would be thought to show a want or a lack of hospitality, and this was regarded as a great disgrace. Christ was told of what had happened, and he bade the servants fill 6 stone jars with water. Then he said, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, John 2:8. Instead of water, there came forth wine or pure grape juice. This grape juice was much better than that which they had been served before, And there was enough for all. After working the miracle, Jesus quietly went away. Not till he had gone did his guests know of the work he had done. Christ's gift to the marriage feast was a symbol. The water represented baptism, and the wine or grape juice, his blood, that was to be shed for the world. Story of Jesus, pages 50 to 53, it looks like. All right.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part 2 of our new lesson. But this part is part 3 that we are going to embark in the Tiny Talk lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place October 1st, 2022. And now we are going to continue our review, and our dear brother will continue.
All right. Chapter 4, we have found the Messiah, part 2. With the calling of John and Andrew and Simon of Philip and Nathanael began the foundation of the Christian church. John directed 2 of his disciples to Christ. Then one of these, Andrew, found his brother and called him to the Savior. Philip was then called, and he went in search of Nathanael. These examples show us, should teach us, the importance of personal effort, of making direct appeals to our kindred, friends, and neighbors, inviting them to come to Jesus too. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Cana was a little town that had been up around Lake Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. At the marriage feast, Jesus did not begin his ministry by some great work before the Sanhedrin at Jerusalem. As a household, at a household gathering in a little Galilean village, his power was first put forth to add to the joy of a wedding feast. Thus he showed his sympathy with men and his desire to minister to their happiness. He wouldn't serve them alcohol because that wouldn't be for their good. It was pure grape juice. In the wilderness of temptation, he himself had drunk the cup of woe. He came forth to give to men the cup of blessing. By his benediction, to hallow the relations of human life. Next slide. From the Jordan, Jesus had returned to Galilee. There was to be a marriage at Cana, a little town not far from Nazareth. The parties were relatives of Joseph and Mary. Apparently, they knew the couple that were going to be married. And Jesus, knowing this family gathering, went to Cana. And with his disciples was invited to the feast. How often do we invite ourselves to a feast? Do we go and stand by and wait for someone to say, oh, by the way, you're invited to come too? Well, Jesus had a reason for doing that. Beside the doorway sat six large stone water jars. And Jesus, did I skip a line? No. And Jesus bade or told the servants, fill them with water. It was done. Then as the wine or grape juice was wanted for immediate use, he said, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. Instead of the water which the vessels had been filled, there flowed forth wine or pure grape juice. Neither the ruler of the feast nor the guests generally were aware that the supply of their wine had failed. Now, upon tasting that which the servants brought, the ruler found it superior to any he had ever before drunk, and very different from that served at the beginning of the feast. Turning to the bridegroom, he said, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, poor quality. But thou hast kept the best, kept the good wine until now. Desire of Ages 144 to 148. Is that it? Review questions. Where was the wedding held? Was held in Cana of Galilee near Nazareth, which is the town where Jesus grew up. So he knew the folks around there. Who were some of the guests who went to the marriage?
Jesus, his disciples, his mother.
Yes. Jesus went up there with his disciples. Not because he was hungry and wanted a piece of wedding cake or whatever they had, but he wanted to bless their gathering with his presence. He didn't go there to do a miracle, but because of his mama's faith, he performed it. What does respectfulness mean? Respectfulness. I don't know where that fit in the story, but respectfulness versus contempt. Respectfulness is the regard and honor in which one holds the distinguished worth or substantial good qualities of another. We respect somebody for their abilities and their knowledge. And that's called a character quality. We all need to have respect for one another. We don't know what character qualities they'll develop, but it's good to show respect anyway. Is that it, Rose?
Christ had respect for his mother.
Amen.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Amen. And that was the key to us, the story. No matter how it was that he was not able to break the commandment where it says, honor thy mother and thy father. And when the mother had asked him to do, to be able to bring wine, he had to be able to not break the commandment. So he was respectful to his mother as his mother was also giving him an example to let everybody understand that as Jesus was an adult, even though he was an adult, whatever his mother was asking of him, he respectfully complied without breaking the commandments. Thank you so much, dear brother. Thank you so much, dear sister.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time for the Tiny Tots and the moms and all the guests to learn precious lesson in nature and the gems that lies beneath in God's creation. So let us have the listening ears, dear one, because our dear brother Josh will be able to continue to share our review of part 19 of The Water of Life.
So blessings, everyone, and here's today's spiritual lesson on the marriage feast and water. Research invited. From the Jordan, Jesus had returned to Galilee. There was to be a marriage at Cana, a little town not far from Nazareth. The parties were relatives of Joseph and Mary, and Jesus, knowing of this family gathering, went to Cana, and with his disciples was invited to the feast. At the marriage feast, she, Mary, meets him, the same tender, dutiful son. Yet he is not the same. His countenance is changed. It bears the traces of his conflict in the wilderness. A new expression of dignity and power gives evidence of his heavenly mission. With him is a group of young men whose eyes follow him with reverence and who call him master. These companions recount to Mary what they have seen and heard at the baptism and elsewhere. They conclude by declaring, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write," John 1:45. As the guests assemble, many seem to be preoccupied with some topic of absorbing interest. A suppressed excitement pervades the company. Little groups converse together in eager but quiet tones, and wandering glances are turned upon the son of Mary. As Mary had heard the disciples' testimony regard to Jesus, she had been gladdened with the assurance that her long-cherished hopes were not in vain. Yet she would have been more than human if there had not mingled with this holy joy a trace of the fond mother's natural pride. As she saw the maid glances bent upon Jesus, she longed to have him prove to the company that he was really the honored of God. She hoped there might be opportunity for him to work a miracle before them. The Desire of Ages, pages 144, 145. Here's some research. Respectful. It was the custom of the times for marriage festivities to continue several days. On this occasion, before the feast ended, it was found that the supply of wine had failed. This discovery caused much perplexity and regret. It was unusual to dispense with wine on festive occasions. Its absence would seem to indicate a want of hospitality. As a relative of the parties, Mary had assisted in the arrangements for the feast, and she now spoke to Jesus, saying, "They have no wine." These words were a suggestion that he might supply their need. But Jesus answered, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." This answer, abrupt as it seems to us, expressed no coldness or discourtesy. The Savior's form of address to his mother was in accordance with Oriental custom. It was used toward persons to whom it was desired to show respect. Every act of Christ's earthly life was in harmony with the precept he himself had given, "Honor thy father and thy mother," Exodus 20:12. On the cross, in his last act of tenderness toward his mother, Jesus again addressed her in the same way, as he committed her to the care of his best-loved disciple. Both at the marriage feast and upon the cross, the love expressed in tone and look and manner interpreted his words, "The Desire of Ages," page 145, 146. Research, 6 water pots. In no wise disconcerted by the words of Jesus, Mary said to those serving at table, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Thus she did what she could to prepare the way for the work of Christ. The Desire of Ages, page 148. The servants respected Mary's advice. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, contained 2 or 3 firkins apiece. John 2:6. Jesus respected his mother's needs and Mary respected her son. And here's something to know about respectfulness. Respect your father and your mother, and don't forget sister and brother. But most of all, respect God above and give to him the best of your love. And 6 in the Bible reminds us of man. Water represents the life of Christ. And the lesson about water is how water can make power. So here's water power, part one. Water power is used to make some electric power. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. How did Jesus demonstrate his power at the wedding feast? We all remember, by turning the water into wine. Respectful. Honor thy father and thy mother. Exodus 20:12. And I'll give it back to Mom.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So remember, little ones. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Welcome to all the precious brethren that just coming in. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Near the Cross, and you can find it in number 312 if you have the hymn book. If you would like to share the hymn, you can unmute your mic to do so, dear ones. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Dear, a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my righteous soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows on me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Amen. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find
Rest beyond the river.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, dear family. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our review section with prayer in our family meeting, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Filling in for Haley, and she's recovering from not feeling well and is resting as well. Oh, Father, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for keeping us through the week. Thank you for everything you have done for us. May you be with us on this blessed Sabbath day. Be with all those that are here and be with those that are not here. Bless them, keep them, and guide them. Help them to remember it's your Sabbath day wherever they may be, and help them to be able to keep it holy. We thank you, Lord. In no other name than Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from our lesson book, The Desire of All Ages, CD Volume 3. The scripture is Psalms 50, verses 14 through 15. Continue in our study, dear ones. What have we learned and ways we have grown? Before we hear your question, your comments, or anything you would like to share with your remnant family, we will take a few minutes to reread last Sabbath lesson entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, Part 2, from our lesson book, The Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear remnant family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. The Desire of Ages, page 699. Turning upon his questioners, Jesus said, "Why ask thou me? Had not the priest, rulers and spies to watch his movements and report his every word? Had not these been present at every gathering of the people and carried to the priest information of his sayings and doings? Ask them which heard me what I have said to them," replied Jesus. "Behold, they know what I said. Next slide. Oh, sorry. I didn't see that part.
The Desire of Ages, page 700. Annas was silenced by the decision of the answer. Fearing that Christ would say something regarding his course of action that he would prefer to keep covered up, he said nothing more to him at this time. One of his officers, filled with wrath as he saw Annas' silence, struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Desire of Ages, page 700, paragraph 1.
Have a blessing, everyone. The survey is page 700. Christ calmly replied, "If I have spoken evil, I'll be a witness of evil, but if it will, why smite thou me?" He spoke no burning word of retaliation. His calm answer came from the heart, sinless, patient, and gentle, that would not be provoked. Desire of Ages, 700, paragraph 2. Amen.
Continuing, Christ suffered keenly under abuse and insult at the hands of the beings whom he had created and for whom he was making an instant sacrifice. He received every indignity, and he suffered in proportion to the perfection of his holiness, his hatred of sin. And on the slide, it says, "But while we behold in the cross God's hatred of sin, we also behold his love for sinners, which is stronger than death." And this was from Our High Calling, page 45, paragraph 5. Amen. Continuing on the next slide, please. His trial by men who acted as fiends was to him a perpetual sacrifice. To be surrounded by human beings under the control of Satan was revolting to him, and he knew that in a moment, by the flashing force of his divine power, he could lay his cruel tormentors in the dust. This made the trial the harder to bear. The Desire of Ages, page 700, paragraph 3.
Continuing, the Jews were looking for a Messiah to be revealed in outward show. They expected him, by one flush of overmastering will, to change the current of men's thoughts and force from them an acknowledgement of his supremacy. Thus they believed he was to secure his own exaltation and gratify their ambitious hopes. On the slide, it reads from Ministry of Healing, page 36, paragraph 2. The kingdom of God comes not with outward show. It comes through the gentleness of the inspiration of his word, through the inward working of his spirit, the fellowship of the soul with him, who is its life. The greatest manifestation of its power is seen in human nature brought to the perfection of the character of Christ. And in the same book, Ministry of Healing, page 36, paragraph 1, it says, "So Jesus was to do his work, not by the overturning of thrones and kingdoms, not with pomp and outward display, but through speaking to the hearts of men by a life of mercy and self-sacrifice." Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 700, continuing. Thus, when Christ was treated with contempt, there came to him a strong temptation to manifest his divine character. By a word, by a look, he could compel his persecutors to confess he was Lord above kings and rulers, priests and temple. But it was his difficult task to keep to the position he had chosen as one with humanity. Desire of Ages, page 700, paragraph 4.
The Desire of Ages, page 700. The angels of heaven witnessed every movement made against their loved commander. They longed to deliver Christ. Under God, the angels are all powerful. On one occasion, in obedience to the command of Christ, they slew the Assyrian army in one night, 185,000 men. How easily could the angels, next slide please.
Courageous page 700. Continue. Beholding the shameful scene of trial of Christ, having testified the indignation by consuming the adversaries of God.
Adversaries
of God. But they were not commanded to do this. He could have doomed his enemy to death, bore with the cruelty. His love for his father and his pledge made brought the foundation of the world. Other slide is?
For them most he often has suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That was taken from Hebrews 9:26, King James Version. And the other is from 1 John 2:2, King James, and it reads, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Mm-hmm. And we will continue in our next slide. If anyone would like to take the following paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so. Thank you so much, dear.
To become the sin bearer led him to endure uncomplainingly the coarse treatment of those he came to save. It was a part of his mission to bear in his humanity all the taunts and abuse that men could heap upon him. The only hope of humanity was in this submission of Christ to all that he could endure from the hands and hearts of men. Desire of age 700. Paragraph 5. On the left side it says, Jesus, our sin bearer, and it shows his hand with a nail print in it. Next.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Father Dick. And thank you, everyone. And the quotation is from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, King James. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we will continue. So let us consider this verse for our review section, dear ones. And this one is taken from 1 Peter 3:15, and it's a memory verse song. For sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with what that said, dear ones, what have we learned in ways we have grown? These are the reserved questions. We will read it out for the sake of those that cannot see the screen and they are listening over other devices. The first one is, who is the main character or characters of our lesson? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it in the room, if it's not, you can use your mic to be able to share for the sake of the blessing and the edification of your brothers and sisters. Who would like to take number one, dear ones?
Okay.
I believe number one is Christ, the priests and rulers and other spectators, and I believe also the disciples.
The answer to number two, what is the main idea for such a story? Jesus put on trial before Annas and the priests. The answer to question three, where did the story take place? Annas' palace.
Number four, when did the story begin? The story began of when Christ was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane and taken to the courts of Annas and Caiaphas.
How I can relate to the story, Christ didn't react angrily when treated with contempt, even though they were falsely asking questions, and even one of them and hit him in the face. Yes, Christ could have reacted violently, wanting to hit back, but he didn't. Instead, he gave them a calm answer, which should we respond even when treated by the worst people.
Number six. I believe I learned that by looking at the great example, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord, when in this situation, even though we're tempted, because in the story, it says that he had a strong temptation, but we don't have to succumb to the temptation. And by looking at this example, we know exactly what we need to do and rely on the truth, stand in the place that the Lord has placed us, and believe that God would take us through, because this is the things that he relied on.
And just to add, I can't say that I have learned that, because it's still something that will be tested throughout the rest of our walk. But in our own flesh, it is so hard not to retaliate. So when people are being mean or rude, so like Christ, we have to pray and submit our will to him, and rely on a thus saith the Lord, not to be able to retaliate. So that is what I hope to continue to learn, is submitting my will to the will of the Lord, that I may not make a shipwreck out of a situation and dishonoring Christ and the example that he has left for us.
Amen. This experience and this lesson reminds me of where it says that he was touched with our feeling of our infirmities, but yet without sin. And as he gave us the example that he held on to his Father's strength, he leaves us the same way, that whenever it is that we are in that situation, he didn't say we wasn't going to have the feeling. He didn't say that we wasn't going to be able to go through it. He says we will. But he left us to understand that when we are weak, we can be able to be strong in him, just as he was strong in his Father. And I had an experience where I was physically hit by someone. And I was actually hit in a time that you would have never thought that it would have been. But what I take away from that was that at that very moment that I was hit, the Lord made me look deeper into the situation and said, she's not really hitting you. What she's really doing is that she's angry of all the things that had happened in her life. And at that very moment, I was able to receive the hit, but yet I had pity in my heart because the Lord wanted us to be able to acknowledge that sin and sinners, no matter what circumstances is happening in their life, the Lord goes deeper into what is really happening in the heart. And that's what I took away from that. And continue to pray for the individual. And do you know something? That same individual came back and I was still able to minister to them because I realized that we're not fighting against flesh, but we're fighting against principality in all high places. And we have to remember also that we're trying to be able to bring Christ. And sometimes we have to bear our cross. That is very, very hard. But the Lord did say that this is how we was going to be able to relate to his life of suffering. We as Christian, we are going to go through very hard trials. But just remember that all trials that we go through is not only a lesson, but to also remember what our Savior had went through for us. And I wanted to share that. Is there any other individuals that would like to share? Otherwise, we are going to go through to another section. It's the thoughts and the poems and the song, but we don't have special music this time. So the reading that we are going to share is taken from Thoughts from the Mountain of Blessing. And this is, the topic is the true motive in service. And if any one of the dear brethren would like to take one of the paragraphs, may you unmute your mic to do so.
The true motive in service, the Mount of Blessing. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy, James 5:11. He waiteth on weary love to hear the confession of the wayward and to accept their penitence. He watches for some return of gratitude from us. As the mother watches for the smile of recognition from her beloved child, he would have us understand how earnestly and tenderly his heart yearns over us. He invites us to take our trials to his sympathy, our sorrows to his love, our wounds to his healing, our weakness to his strength, our emptiness to his fullness. There was one been disappointed who came unto him. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Psalm 34:5. Mount of Blessing, page 84, paragraph 4.
Those who seek God in secret, telling the Lord their needs and pleading for help, will not plead in vain. Thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. As we make Christ our daily companion, we shall feel that the powers of an unseen world are all around us. And by looking unto Jesus, we shall become assimilated to his image. By beholding, we become changed. The character is softened, refined, and ennobled for the heavenly kingdom. The sure result of our intercourse and fellowship with our Lord will be to increase piety, purity, and fervor. There will be a growing intelligence in prayer. We are receiving a divine education, and this is illustrated in a life of diligence and zeal. Mount of Blessing, page 85, paragraph 1.
Our next quote is taken from our lesson book, The Desire Ages, and also Step to Christ. We're going to read chapter 24, the paragraph 2 of page 240. And of the Step to Christ, we're going to read page 111, paragraph 3. If any one of the dear brethren would like to share it, May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
So angels protected Lot and led him out safely from the midst of Sodom. So they protected Elisha in the little mountain city. When the encircling hills were filled with the horses and chariots of the king of Syria and the great host of his armed men, Elisha beheld the nearer hill slopes covered with the armies of God, horses and chariots of fire round about the servants of the Lord. Deserve ages 240.2.
God invites us to prove for ourselves the reality of his word, the truth of his promises. He bids us taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Instead of depending upon the word of another, we are to taste for ourselves. He declares, ask and ye shall see. John 16:24. His promises will be fulfilled. They have never failed. They never can fail. As we draw near to Jesus and rejoice in the fullness of his love, our doubt and darkness will disappear in the light of his presence. Set the price, page 111, paragraph 3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to share the poem, but keeping in mind, just as the Lord has supplied the needs of those at the wedding feast, but what about the little child of poverty? This poem is taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 3, Lesson 8, from page 222 from the Sunlight Education Ministry Homeschooling from the Bible. If any one of the dear brethren would like to take one of the verses, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Number 1. Lord, I'm poor, yet hear my call. Afford me daily bread. Give me at least the crumb that fall from the tables richly spread.
Thou canst for all my wants provide and turn my water into wine. The ravens cry and are supplied. You'll surely hear this prayer of mine.
Behold the lilies, how they grow, though they can nothing do. And will not God, who clothes them so, afford me raiment too?
But seeing, Lord, thou doest withhold the riches some possess, grant me what better is than gold, thy grace and righteousness.
Oh, may I have heavenly treasure, find and choose the better part. Give me a humble, poisoned mind, a meek and lowly heart.
Forgive my sins, my fall is cure, and grant the grace I need. And then, though I am mean and poor, I shall be rich indeed.
Amen. That was a poem adapted by Isaac Watts. And welcome to all of the dear brethren that are coming in. If there's any testimony that you would like to share, let me just look at the time. Oh, we went a little bit over. We can be able to hold those testimony at the end of our service. So next Sabbath, dear ones, we are going to continue with part 3 of our new chapter entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas in our storybook. If any one of the little one, mommies or daddies, our guests, would like to close a review section of our family meeting with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father Jesus, as we come to you this Sabbath day, we thank you for all the many blessings that you are bringing to us. And we want to thank you especially for standing in every circumstances for us and never failing. Indeed, the words say that you will not fail. Father Jesus, we thank you. Father, I just want to lift up little Emma and Haley as they're not feeling well, and we sorely miss them today. Be with the family, I pray. As we continue on the Sabbath day, Father, we pray for your continuous blessing and that you may bless the speaker, Father Jesus, in no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, dear ones, next Sabbath, that will begin a new lesson, which is 366 of our chapter 75, entitled Before Annas and the Court of Caiaphas, Part 3. And that will be held October 1st, 2022. Leaving the scripture and also a quotation from our youth studies book. The quotation is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, and it reads, King James, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And the quotation taken from our youth lesson book, page 363, paragraph 4, it reads, "We are to take up the burden that God appoints, bearing them for his sake, and ever going to him for rest. Whatever our work, God is honored by wholehearted, cheerful service. He is pleased when we take up our duties with great gratitude, rejoicing that wish we are accounted worthy to be co-laborers with him." May you all have a blessed rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.